pray this most of all. In the precious name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody says, Amen.
That was Johnny Erickson Tada delivering the benediction at the Republican National Convention last night. The first night over ends with her benediction. Now, what in the world could possibly be wrong with that? You have a very prominent, well-known, long-known Christian come to the stage and deliver the benediction at the end of the first day of the Republican National Convention. And she does it in Jesus' name. We'll hear a little bit more of her benediction here in just a moment. I have a problem with this. I have no problem with Johnny Erickson Tada. I like her. She's been a guest on this program. I do not doubt the sincerity of her faith. I don't think anyone would doubt that. I do not doubt the sincerity of her prayer. I do not doubt that she delivered that prayer and that benediction there at the end of the Republican National Convention's first day with perfectly good motives. But I still have a problem with it. The problem I have is why she, her prayer, and other prayers, we're going to be hearing them here in just a moment as well, were put on the schedule. First of all, let's review a little bit. No one believes that anything happens by accident at these political conventions. Nothing happens by accident, okay? If someone is on the stage, they are there for a reason. These things have a purpose. The purpose is to elect a president. Be it the Democrats or the Republicans, if someone's on the stage, they're there because someone wanted them on the stage. Johnny Erickson Tada did not wander up onto the stage. This was not a last-minute inclusion. This was planned. It's planned by either the Republican National Committee or the Democratic National Committee or the candidates themselves. Everything is orchestrated to the end of electing the candidate. A political purpose, right? So we can say, with very little doubt, that these prayers were planned. Here's where my problem lies. Why was Johnny Erickson Tada asked to pray at the Republican National Convention? We did an hour earlier today with Dr. Andrew Steinman, and we very briefly, near the end of that hour, talked about what Jesus warns several times in Scripture against when it comes to prayer. Praying before men to be seen by men. Praying for some other purpose than what the true purpose of Christian prayer ought to be. Again, I am not denigrating the motivation of Johnny Erickson Tada. The motivation I have a problem with is that of those who planned the Republican National Convention. They put her on the stage for political purposes, be it to play to the religious right as the base, to make the convention have an air of religiosity. I don't know what their motivations were, but I seriously doubt they put her there for any other purpose than to elect their candidate. Now, there's nothing wrong with that political purpose, but to use Christian prayer to that purpose is wrong. If Jesus has got a problem with the Pharisees standing on the street corner making their Pharisee prayers in order to be seen by men, I think he certainly has a problem with the Republican National Committee putting someone on national television to pray to get a president elected. Now, that was not Johnny's motivation, I am sure. But it was the Republican National Committee's motivation. Nothing happens in these conventions on accident. It is all orchestrated. The speeches are vetted. Every word is approved. I imagine even the words of the prayer were approved. I'm glad that they approved a prayer that would include Jesus' name. That's good. I have a problem with the reason they let her on the schedule, they put her on the schedule in the first place, to elect a candidate. Am I wrong? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, that was just the conclusion of her benediction. Let's listen to a little bit more of the benediction delivered by Johnny Erickson Tada at the Republican National Convention last night.
We seek your thoughts, your plans, your ideas. May we speak your words to those around us, always being extenders of your grace. Then we will have every confidence that righteousness will exalt this great nation, and our greatness will be grounded in you, O God.
Okay, there she is again. Now, I'll make it plain one more time. I am not questioning her motivation for praying. I think her motivation, I take a good guess at her motivation. I think I'm probably right. She's a sincere Christian who wanted to serve the Republican National Convention by doing what they asked of her. She's a sincere Christian who wanted very much to be able to pray in public as a public witness to the faith she holds in Jesus Christ. Those are good things. I'm glad, and I'm sure that's what her motivation was. I'm sure her motivation wasn't simply to get George W. Bush elected, but that is why she was on the schedule. That is why she was on the schedule. I'm sure of that. Let's separate her motivation from the motivation of those who planned it and decided, hey, you know what would be a good idea? To have Johnny Erickson Tata give the benediction at this thing. Now, their purposes are political, and that's the wrong reason to put prayer on the schedule. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So, tell me, am I wrong? Am I right? Do you share my concern? Am I simply nitpicking this thing? We should, oh, just come on. Just be happy that someone prayed in Jesus' name. And I know Jesus says don't pray to be seen by men, but come on. Just be, in this day and age when we can't pray in school and we can't do this and we can't do that anymore, to have Johnny Erickson Tata on national television, even if it's late at night, give the benediction at the Republican National Convention is a good thing. I don't think so. When it's for political purposes on the part of those who plan the convention, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phones. I want to know what you think about this, whether you think I'm right or wrong. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Andrew is calling, and he's calling from his car. Andrew, welcome.
How you doing, Todd?
Doing well.
Good. I'm just wondering what you would propose instead of this benediction that was presented the other night. Because it seems to me from listening to you a little bit, I haven't listened to you a lot, that you would be having a similar or even more strong reaction if the Republican Party didn't open and close with benediction.
Not at all. I think the appropriate thing to do, if the purposes of these speeches and whatever they may be, everything that gets put out up on the stage of the Republican National Convention, if the purpose is to elect George W. Bush, nothing wrong with that. I'm going to vote for the guy. If the purpose is to elect George W. Bush, then let's leave prayer out of it and not misuse someone's sincere prayer toward the end of a political commercial. Start it with a gavel, end it with the gavel, go home. That's my solution. Do you think I'm wrong, Andrew?
Well, I don't know if I think you're wrong, but I think my immediate thought is about her Christian freedom and her deciding that this was a good, right, salutary thing to do.
Well, but that's not the issue, because I don't question her motivation, and she didn't ask, you can be darn sure, she didn't ask, and they say, hey, Johnny's at the door asking if she can pray here. She was asked to do this, and maybe I'm just simply too, my view is too dim of the machine that runs both political parties, but they don't put something in this convention unless it's going to benefit the candidate and work toward the candidate's election. And that was their motivation for putting her on the stand there.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. But I guess where I come down is, I think in her Christian freedom, she thought that was a good idea, and you know, she went for it. And I don't, quite frankly, I don't think I share your opinions about Bush, and that's fine. But I just think that, you know, in her Christian freedom, we can say to her, you know, you decided to do this, you were asked by the party, and so, you know, God's blessings, and do it with a good and glad heart.
All right, Andrew, thank you very much. Again, I want to make this distinction. She has the freedom to do this. I don't think she should be denied the freedom to pray whenever and wherever she wants, and when she has the opportunity, she should pray openly in Jesus' name. The problem I have is with those who scheduled her to be there. They scheduled her there to be seen by men. Jesus says, do not make your prayers to be seen by men. My problem lies with those who put her on the schedule and why I suspect they did it. James is calling from his car. James, welcome.
Yeah, I thought, I kind of see the, I see your point in terms of the analogy with the Pharisee, and yet I also see it being kind of a tricky issue where it makes good sense, I think, to have prayer, especially at the Republican convention, where they do appeal to Christians, and there are a lot of Christians who are constituents, similar to when you go to church, there are Christians in the audience who like prayer. And so almost in any case, people are making prayers when it's done publicly for a certain reason, even if it's in a church when a pastor stands up or a member of the congregation stands up to pray. Do you feel that maybe no prayer then should be offered
at
the convention?
No, just understand what I'm saying here, James. If a pastor gets up in the pulpit or at the altar anywhere and prays so that he can be seen or so that he can please the sensibilities of men, he's better off not praying because he's doing it for all the wrong reasons. That's a perfect parallel to what I'm talking about here at the Republican National Convention. The pastor stands in order to actually bring the supplications, the thanksgiving, the praise of God's people on behalf of the people to God, not to be seen by men. He may be doing it and being seen by men, but he's not doing it to be seen by men. No one put him up there to be seen by men. Then then he's offering a genuine prayer that that Jesus does not forbid.
Okay, yes. Your contention then is that this prayer is probably more so for being seen as opposed to the genuine will of the people who are in attendance.
Not on the part of Johnny Erickson Tata, but
right.
I think certainly on the part of those who planned the Republican National Convention. That's why they put her on the schedule. If it wouldn't have been her, it would have been Franklin Graham. If he's too controversial, you pick someone that is as least controversial as possible. You put them up there and you let them pray. You're going to find someone to pray, and it's not going to be, boy, don't you think we'd benefit from prayer? It's going to be political calculus. It's going to be, this will play well in Peoria or wherever they think their base is. Am I wrong? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Josh calling from his car.
Hi there, Todd.
Hi, Josh.
Hey, as far as the Pharisees and their praying in public, I think when Jesus criticized them, he was talking about their motivations. So I don't think that applies unless you were questioning Johnny Erickson Tata's motives, and you say you're not, I believe you, but you know, I don't think that applies in this case, since you say her motives were good.
Okay, then would you have a problem then, Josh, if what I'm saying is true? And there was some, let's just put it in the crassest possible circumstances. There's some political manipulator chomping a cigar in a back room who didn't give two hoots about prayer, Johnny Erickson Tata, or God. But he says, boys, we need to have somebody pray at the convention because it will play well with our base. You don't have a problem with that motivation of putting prayer in the convention for purely political reasons.
Even if the passage
doesn't apply.
I have a problem with that person's motivation, but on the other hand, I would have a problem if someone that I respected prayed that prayer at the Democratic convention, because I know the Democratic convention does things that seem to be anti-God. The Republican Party is not perfect, but they... They're certainly, at least holding the line on certain things that Christians support, such as abortion, homosexual marriage. Well, not that we support it, but you know what I mean.
All right. So let me see if I get what you're saying straight. Will God refuse to hear a prayer at the DNC convention as opposed to, say, the RNC convention?
I don't know if God will refuse to hear it, but what was Johnny Erickson Tata supposed to do?
She could say, no, thank you. I would be happy to pray at any other venue if you're asking me to pray because you sincerely want God's blessing upon the convention and this thing, and I don't want my prayers to be used for political purposes. That's what she could have said. That's in my mind. That's what she should have said.
Okay. Well,
right.
I wouldn't think you were nitpicking, except that you tend to do a lot of nitpicking, so
well,
I don't know.
I guess if the nitpicking comes when we're nitpicking the truth, those are nits that need to be picked when the issue is truth. And now maybe I'm wrong here, so someone please call me and make the case That are we naive? Do we believe that the people who planned either party's convention put something on there? Just let's get a little Jesus in there. Let's get a Christian in there to pray. Oh, by the way, Johnny Erickson Tata wasn't the only one praying last night. We'll hear a little bit of that in just a few minutes. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm not questioning Johnny's motivation. I'm saying the people who put her on the schedule did it for political purposes, and this was prayer in the service of politics. Bob is calling from his car. Hi, Bob.
I want to make a comment here, and I just need a moment. You're not questioning Johnny Erickson Tata's motivation, but you're questioning somebody's motivation behind the scenes. Is that correct?
That's
okay,
pretty
specifically?
Whoever planned the convention.
So you don't have a name or personality that you can assign these motives to?
Not unless I put it at George W. Bush's doorstep. I mean, he's ultimately responsible for what goes on in the convention.
Well, being that the Republican Party is the party of the pro-life party and the party that supports Christian values more so than the other party, could it be that maybe these people just wanted prayer for the sake that prayer changes things and they sincerely believe that?
Well,
and maybe you're questioning the motivation is a little out of line because you don't know who the personalities involved are.
Okay, Bob, let's see. Let's just do a little...
Judge not, thou shalt not be judged. And the other scripture that comes to mind is that maybe you're bearing false witness about somebody you don't even know.
Okay, Bob, stay with us, okay? Stay with me
right
here. Stay on the line. Let's all listen to another woman who gave... This is a woman who actually gave the invocation yesterday, also at the Republican National Convention. Listen carefully, everybody, including Bob.
We love thee, Father, and we thank thee for loving us. We worship thee in many ways, but as a follower of Jesus Christ and in behalf of all who believe likewise, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, Bob, your reaction to that prayer, it was at the beginning of the convention last night.
She prayed a Christian prayer in the name of Jesus.
Bob, that was Sherry Dow. She is president of Deseret Book, a Mormon publisher. That was a Mormon.
I said it was a Christian prayer.
That was a Mormon woman praying.
She prayed in the name of Jesus. I mean, what can I say? You know,
Are Mormons Christians?
No, I'm not saying that Mormons are Christian. I said she prayed in the name of Jesus. But
Mormons don't have faith in Jesus. She used the name Jesus, but they have faith in a false Jesus.
Well,
the Jesus she was praying to doesn't exist.
Mormons quote Scripture, too, and Scripture has the authority as the Word of God. My word will not go out void. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I've sent it. So if somebody quotes Scripture, it is Scripture, and it will stand on its own and will achieve God's purposes, whether it comes out of a Mormon's mouth or out of my mouth or your mouth.
Well,
because
Bob,
of what it is.
Thanks for giving me the benefit of the doubt, Bob. Thank you very much. First of all, let me respond to a couple things he said. Did you notice that, folks? That was a Mormon. She prayed before Johnny Erickson Tata. You might say, well, at least a Christian got the last word. Oh, by the way, they didn't only let Christians and Mormons pray. You'll hear in just a moment, a Muslim also prayed, too. Now, unless you want to argue that a Muslim prayer goes up to Jesus just the same, we're in a kind of a problematic area here, aren't we? Judge not lest you be judged. That certainly applies to unscriptural judgments. But Scripture requires us to judge according to God's word. It says, test the spirits to see whether they be of God. Is that passage nullified by judge not lest you be judged? No, we judge, Christians are called to judge by the same standard we judge ourselves. We will accept judgment according to God's word, and we will apply judgment according to God's word. Jesus is not saying that we cannot exercise judgment. So that's a response to the judge not lest you be judged. Now, that I might be breaking the eighth commandment, that is not bearing false witness against someone I don't even know, that could be. It could be that I'm assigning bad motivation to the guy who chomps the cigar in the back room. And if that is shown to be so, I will happily repent. But I strongly suspect that those who plan this convention put political considerations over everything else. But, you know, I might be wrong. I might be wrong. That's why I say, am I wrong? How likely do you think it is that I'm wrong? That there wasn't, that the entire docket, John McCain, Rudolph Giuliani, all of them were there because of political considerations, including Johnny Erickson Tada's prayer. Not her motivation, but those who put her on the docket. Sandy's calling from her car. Sandy, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I think my comments pretty well echo those of your last caller, and it's a concern I have with our ability to judge the motives of others. To ascribe correct purpose to Johnny Erickson Tada might be just as wrong as to ascribe bad purpose to those who plan the event. And
so it could be that Johnny Erickson Tada was there, just there to elect George Bush?
Those from an unbelieving background may hear this as, oh, Christian infighting. And our tendency to, I guess it is, judge each other without, as you were saying, the violating the Eighth Commandment without all the information.
Sandy, I got to just ask you, though, and I would direct the same question to the previous caller. If I'm not supposed to judge according to God's word, then why are you calling me and correcting me?
No,
you're exercising judgment.
Well, I'm responding to your request for our thoughts about your comments, and I'm not saying that it's wrong. In fact, I think it's appropriate that we hold each other accountable, but I do think that we don't know the motives of those who put her out there. Indeed, you're absolutely correct to call people to question their motives in inviting Christian prayer in this context and for its purpose.
And that's the reason I'm asking the question.
Right. How are any of us to know? I think it makes for interesting discussion on the radio. But how are any of us to know? Christ knew the hearts of those Pharisees. We do not know the hearts of those who have prayed.
Okay, Sandy, before I let you go, Sandy, I want complete honesty. Do not shade the truth with me, okay? If they would have put, let's say there's some famous religious person. Try and think of somebody. At John Kerry's convention to pray in Jesus' name, would you be as willing to afford them the benefit of the doubt about their motivation for putting a prominent prayer and prayer in their convention?
That's an excellent question, and no, I would not be as willing to afford them the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you for being honest, Sandy. Thank you very much. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I would simply ask, why? If you can picture a cigar-chomping Democrat engaging in political calculus to put someone, a prominent prayer, in the Democratic National Convention, why is it so hard to picture a prominent Republican in exactly the same position, which I believe is just as likely? We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Listening to Issues, Etc.
So many books on Christian prayer emphasize the Christian rather than prayer. They talk about praying the right prayer, the right way, with the right attitude. All the emphasis is on you. Is this what Christian prayer is really all about? How can you know that God is hearing and answering your prayers even when God seems silent and no answers seem to come? Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August is called Is God Listening? You can order Is God Listening by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for August, Is God Listening? By Dr. Andrew Steinman. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
only one race.
Scientists agree.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book, One Blood, The Biblical Answer to Racism. Well, Ken, how do you explain the different races of people over the earth since the Bible says all humans descended from Adam and Eve?
Well, actually, there aren't different races of people. You see, all humans are called Homo sapiens sapiens. In other words, we're all the same genus, species, and subspecies. In fact, the Bible doesn't even use the word race. It talks about tribes and nations that resulted from the split up of people after the Tower of Babel. Students were once taught in America's public schools that people were evolved to different levels. You know, sadly, this caused many to look down on certain people groups because they thought some were less human than others. Many racist attitudes resulted from this wrong view. At a recent scientific conference, though, in America, scientists announced that the idea of race had no basis in biological reality. They declared that the differences in humans throughout the world were very minor indeed, and that there really was only one race of people. Cultural differences were actually the main differences. It's sad it took so long, but it's great to see science now catching up with biblical truth. There's only one race.
What do the Bible and science have to say about life in outer space? That intriguing topic is addressed by Ken Ham in his free booklet, Is There Life in Outer Space? It's available free through our website, answersradio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. 77% of America's sixth graders have a TV in their bedroom. If your children have a TV in their bedroom, do them a big favor and take it out. The more immorality and disrespect children see on TV, the more they are inclined to act that way in real life. But it is difficult to monitor what our children are watching when they are in their bedroom. Take the TV out of their bedroom. When your children complain, use those complaints as an opportunity to explain how much you and Jesus love them. Jesus only wants what is best for them, and parents act on his behalf. Tell your children that you want to do everything possible to help them grow up to be mature and faithful Christians, and that includes removing the TV set from their bedroom. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
Among all the Christian folks that I know, none exhibits the joy of the Lord better than the Reverend Dr. Lewis Brighton, who happens also to be Professor Emeritus at Concordia Seminary, and was a guest earlier today on our Bible study in Philippians chapter 4. Listen to the joy in Dr. Brighton tonight in our Bible study repeat at 7:05.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're taking your phone calls. Let's go back and talk to some of these car phone callers. Matt is on the line. Matt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin. I just wanted to open my comments by saying I love your show. You make my drive home every evening very pleasant.
I'm glad to have done that for you. Yes, my pleasure.
You originally asked for callers who are, you know, agreed or tell you whether you're right or you're wrong. And as I listened to the conversation evolve, the only real thought I had was that I find it difficult to ascribe motivations to the Republican Party or anyone else without having a lot more of the facts to bear. So my feelings initially echoed what a couple of your earlier callers had to say, but you clinched it for me when you played the invocation by the Mormon, and then when you mentioned that there was later a Muslim prayer. And I can't help but think that when they invite so many different disparate groups to offer prayers there, they're just trying to appeal to every man there and make everyone happy. I certainly view that as a political motivation.
Matt, you have put
I agree with you.
Thank you very much, Matt. You have put your finger on the point. If they invited Johnny Erickson Tata to pray out of pure motivation to just have God's blessings pronounced over the thing, then you have to say they also invited the Mormon to pray to her God, non-existent, of course, to her false God to get his blessings, and, as we'll hear in just a moment, the Muslim to pray to Allah to get his blessings. If their motivation wasn't political in the case of Johnny Erickson Tata, then why assign political motivation to them asking a Mormon to pray? The Mormon gave the invocation. Sounded Christian. Yeah, sounded Christian. But it wasn't, you see. Prayed in the name of Jesus, a Jesus that bears no resemblance to the Jesus of Scripture. And they couldn't have had any political motivation in asking the Muslim imam to pray. We'll hear him in just a few minutes. What? What kind of God is this? A God that can be equally addressed by Mormons, Muslims, and Christians. It's the God of American civil religion. It's G-O-D, as generic as you can get. The God that has many faces and many names and is called upon by everyone, to whom all roads lead. But that's a whole nother conversation. Back to the phones. Anita's on the line. Hi, Anita. Thank you for waiting.
Okay, thanks. I have to pretty much parrot or echo what the last caller said. I totally support what you're saying. I can't see that it's anything other than political motivations, trying to cover all bases and appeal to the masses by having the three different religions pray.
Thank you so much, Anita.
And also to echo what he said, I really enjoy your show. It's very thought-provoking and very interesting. So thank you.
And thanks, Anita. Talk radio for the thinking Christian. That's what we are now. Just let me lay the scenario. Go back to the phones. You are asked by a politician friend to come and pray at his rally. Okay? He says, I want you to come and pray at my rally. Give the benediction. Now, if you're a Christian or, say, a pastor worth your salt, you are going to at least have a moment's pause saying, am I being used? But let's say you think, no, I'm not being used. He really wants me to come and pray. When you get there, you realize that there's a Mormon giving the invocation and a Muslim giving a prayer in the course of the evening, and you're playing cleanup, giving a Christian prayer at the end. Do you still think you're not being used? Or is he not using you and then using the other ones? Or does he just want the blessings of as many gods as he can get? Who's up next? Sam is calling from his car. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Pastor. I have a feeling and an opinion. And I guess the feeling end of it is, initially, it's I like to hear Jesus' name said on a national stage. But then you bring it back to the reality of the situation of what we're facing. And my opinion is I think we would be entirely naive to believe that we don't know the world that we live in market research and pollster research, to believe that they do not absolutely know who they need to put up on the stage to draw support from their constituents.
Sam, thank you for the call. By the way, folks, you can feel free to disagree with us. You don't have to agree with everything we say on issues, etc. People can enjoy the show. We're just trying to get Christians to think. That's the whole purpose of this. Fred is calling from his car. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I do agree with what you're saying, that there is a strong possibility that she could have been used. But if her motivation was pure, which I believe that it is.
Me too.
And she felt that maybe through this she could maybe draw more Christians to come out and vote for maybe issues like pro-life and certain things. Do you think that that would be something that you would consider doing?
I don't know, Fred. I was with you, Fred, just until if she thought she could get more people to come out and vote. I was with you up until that point.
Well,
a sincere motivation would be simply, and I don't think that was her motivation at all. I think her motivation was to exactly what she said in her prayer. It was to, in the name of the true Jesus, not the Mormon Jesus, but in the name of the true Jesus, to ask God that our words and our deeds match God's words and deeds, not only as a people and individuals, but also as a nation. I think that's what she was praying for. If this was just get out the vote, and that was her motivation, that would be wrong. That's not why we pray. We don't pray publicly to get out the vote. We pray because there are real needs and real promises made by God.
Well, and I agree with you 100%. But if you felt that by you getting out on that platform that you could somehow get more people that are more persuaded to vote for issues like life and so forth, and that could maybe possibly save someone's life in the long run, would you do that?
That's a good question, Fred. Let me see if I can answer it. We do not do evil that good may result. If it is wrong for me to pray, not just ill-advised or a mistake or an error in judgment, but if it is wrong for me to pray for the wrong reasons, to be seen by men or to get the vote out or whatever, we do not do good that evil may result. I mean, we do not do evil that good may result. The end does not justify the means. God's kingdom is not furthered by violating his clear commands. And God's purposes are not furthered by violating his clear commands. Now, if it's a clear command that we ought not pray for evil motivation or for the wrong reason, even if it's not our motivation but someone else's evil motivation, not allow our prayers to be used for the wrong motivation, then it's wrong. It's just period. That's it. Deborah is on the line. Deborah, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. I wanted to first off say I'm a big fan of prayer, and I think it can make a difference, and I think prayer should be used behind the scenes, and that it would make a difference. However, it does bother me, this public use of prayer in this fashion, and what comes to mind are businesses that use that put like a picture of the fish on a billboard or in yellow pages. Regardless of what their motivation is or their intention, the impression I get is they're using Christianity to gain business. And when I choose a business, I'm going to make that decision based upon the kind of service they can offer, not their religious affiliation. And a problem with the Republican Party using religion in this fashion is that if and when, and inevitably it's going to happen when they foul up, that could leave a sour impression of Christianity in the minds of a lot of people, and I think there's a lot of harm in that.
Deborah, thank you for your thoughts. You've seen the ads with the fish, right? I've seen drivers with the fish going 80 miles an hour in a 60. Running the yellow turning red light. Let's see. And I've had actual business dealings with one of those fish advertisers, the guy with the Jesus fish advertisers, and he didn't deal with me honestly. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I didn't pick him because he was a Jesus fish person, but he was a Jesus fish person. He didn't deal with me honestly. Jane is calling from her car. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Todd. I cannot tell Johnny Erickson Todd's motives, but I think that her judgment was very bad there. She just made Jesus another flavor of ice cream.
Well, do you think, I don't think she may not have known that there would also be Mormons and Muslims there.
Oh, well, if she didn't know, then that would make it different. But
the people who planned the convention did know that there were going to be Mormons and Muslims there.
And also, praying in Jesus' name, I wish the man that had thought that would look up what Mormon theology is. They have a different father, a different Jesus, but they'll tell you the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. And to pray in his name means to all of his promises, to believe all of his promises that he has said, not just a mantra at the end in Jesus' name.
Jane?
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You might not get a busy signal if you try now. We got one free phone line. Let's free up another one. Kathy's calling from her car. Hi, Kathy.
Yes, Todd. I don't think, when a Christian prays in the name of Jesus with the right motives according to the will of God, the Father, he hears. And I think, once again, making a mountain out of a molehill, I think that...
Now, wait, Kathy. Do you have a problem with the Mormon praying last night and the Muslim that prayed last night, too?
Well, first of all, why should we have a problem? You're the one that says we're not a Christian nation. I mean, this is
no,
what
but
I'm
do
asking.
You do you have a do you have a, let's just hear it. Stay on the line, Kathy. Please stay on the line here. Do we have this one ready, Gary? Play. This is the this
all
is
you
the
who believe. Be careful of your duty to God, and speak the right word. He will put your deeds into a right state for you, and forgive you your faults. Whoever obeys God and his messenger will indeed achieve a mighty success.
Okay, that was Imam Pasha Harelem. He's a mosque leader who was delivering a benediction there at the RNC convention last night. Your thoughts on that, Kathy?
I have a very bad thought for that. But then again, Christians are extremely gullible, and they would prefer, and I've heard it on your station, that if a Muslim would get in office, as long as he believes in the in fact of no abortion, that's better than the lesser of the two evils.
So, well, then how do you do this, Kathy? How do you say that you don't have a problem, or at least you apparently say you don't have a problem with them putting Johnny Erickson Tada on the thing because that wasn't political motivation, but the same people put the Mormon on intentionally, the same people who planned the convention put the Muslim up there, too, to pray. What were they
well,
up to?
Well, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for the moderate vote, okay?
So you agree with me? So you agree with me?
Well, I agree with you. I think Eric, I think she should have went because she's a Christian representing the true God. And I believe that even as Daniel and them were thrown in the lion's den, I believe the true God will prevail in the end. And of course, we all know he wins in the end. But I think we should have a voice if we're, and if they would keep us away, it's definitely persecution, even worse.
Kathy, thank you for the call. So as far as I can tell, even though it was, she was put on the schedule for purely political reasons, a Christian should say, fine, use me for political reasons. Now, that is a possibility. I'm going to admit, that's a possibility that the Christian would say, I don't care why they want me there, I'm going to go there. And I'm going to let them use my prayer for a get-out-the-vote drive. Because people might hear my witness. Not only words witness, deeds witness too. And someone's in there at the convention, and they look at Johnny Erickson Tata praying. They don't know her motives, but maybe they say, she's just here trying to get the vote out, and she's actually invoking the name of her God to get the vote out. Now, that's not her motivation, but that's what the person believes. What kind of a witness is it? See, we've got to be careful about when we go to bear witness that we don't invoke the law of unintended consequences. And then they see her praying, and they don't know that she didn't know that there would be a Mormon and a Muslim there, but they see her praying in the same evening with the Mormon and the Muslim. And they say, does she actually believe they worship the same God? Why would she pray alongside them in the same, at the same venue if she doesn't? Maybe the Jesus she calls on is the same Jesus that the Mormon called upon. Or maybe we're so naive as to believe that people wouldn't draw those conclusions. Barry is on the line. Barry, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Pastor. I came in kind of late, but as I've been listening, our Sunday gospel reading was the one, I believe, out of Luke about division in the church. And all the discussion had me thinking that, you know, if you're saying these prayers and if you're going to put it in that situation where there's a Muslim and a Mormon, then there's going to be division because of Christ's name. Doesn't sound like there was any of that there, and I guess that's where, you know, when we start talking about praying together in public places, that's a big part of it, is you're going to go proclaim publicly, it's going to cause division, and people probably aren't going to want to hear what you have to say.
Barry, thank you. Where was the outrage at this, quote, party full of Christians? We've had callers say that the Republican National Committee at least goes for Christian values. They were not outraged to have a Muslim pray, a false god invoked. They were not outraged to have another false god, an American false god, the Mormon false god, invoked there, this party of Christians. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Anne is calling from South St. Louis. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. First of all, I agree with you. However, as far as Joni's prayer, we don't know her motivation, and that would be between she and God. I do feel that these parties choose and put in whoever they can. They say whatever they want to. Whether they're pro-life, they pick an issue they think the people will vote for, and they put it out. They put out people of other faiths. Anything they can do, in many cases, not all politicians, but in many cases, it's just to get the vote, and that's, you can't pay attention to much of any of it. We have many Christians who are going to vote for George Bush. I heard on KFUO the other day, I don't know who said it, whether it was a, you know, I have no idea, call or what, but that they had heard Bush say when he was asked whether he was a Christian, well, I guess I am.
Oh, that
spelled out big to me.
Well, now, I think that was on my program, and I think we might have even played that as audio, and if you listen to what I had to say, I think that what the president was saying there was not that he wasn't sure he was a Christian, but he was kind of, it's his folksy way of addressing his audience.
But we don't do that. If
yes.
we believe in Jesus, we say, yes, I am,
you
regardless of what, you know, we can't do that.
You know what, Ann? You're absolutely right.
It and goes you to... wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't do it, and I don't think a Christian should do it, but I do think that this is all a lot of hype they're getting up there. They're going to do anything to get a vote, and what he's doing is he's pushing me, for one, further and further from wanting to pay any attention to anything he says.
And thank you. Look, I'm not going to vote for him because he's a Christian. I'm going to vote for him because I agree with his political stance on the better part of what he stands for. He could be an atheist. I know this is going to curl people's hair. He could be an atheist if he held the same positions, if he was pro-life. I don't... be a hard position to hold, but if he was, fine. Better than a pro-choice Christian, as far as I'm concerned. So Anne has there made the same distinction that I've been making here for this hour. Roy is calling from his car. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Pastor. You know, I was listening to Kathy, and I almost agreed with her, because what I think she was saying is at least Johnny was speaking of the true God. But then the more I thought about it, you could have baby Christians or weak Christians listening to Johnny's prayer and then come to the conclusion that they were praying to the same God, and we know they weren't. So there's a danger that you could take a baby Christian and really confuse them.
And not only a baby Christian, but an unbeliever.
Exactly.
An unbeliever would, I think, their first inclination would be to think that the Mormon and the Christian and maybe even the Muslim were praying to the same God. In that case, it promotes false teaching. It is allowing them to remain mired in this error that all roads lead to the same God, which is just absolute falsehood. You see, this goes to the question not just of political motivation. This goes to the question of when we witness in the public square how clear we must be in this pluralistic age. Because the law of unintended consequences will always be in play. And when we witness, we cannot afford to be ambiguous. We cannot afford to have our Christian witness tainted by putting it alongside as though it's equally true with the Muslim witness and the Mormon witness. And who knows what they got in store for us tonight? Maybe another Christian, maybe a Hindu. Maybe another Muslim. Certainly a rabbi. We'll get a rabbi up there. If the neocons have the control I think they do, we may get more than one. Chuck is calling from St. Louis. Chuck.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Chuck.
First of all, I think perhaps I'm not quite as cynical as some of your other callers. Perhaps the party is not asking for prayer for the sake of get-out-the-vote drives or to rally people to their side. Perhaps it is a recognition that the party is made up of more than just one particular religious group.
Do you think they could do that, Chuck? And I agree with you, that is also another possibility. Do you think there's a way to do that without asking each of these religions respectively to engage in what all of them believe is an act of their faith publicly? In other words, can they do it without asking them to pray? Could they find another way of recognizing the religious diversity of the Republican Party and of America in general?
Well, I don't think that's the issue. The issue that I was raising is if they recognize the religious diversity of their particular party and they want to give people who are there from that diverse from those diverse groups an opportunity to pray, and they want to do that as a public thing, they would have to ask the various people to pray without doing it for the sake of covering all the bases or for the sake of drawing people into saying, oh, they're for me, you know, I can vote for them because they... Oh,
okay, so let me see if I got you straight. You're basically saying if they let one pray, they need to let all pray.
If they recognize that there is a diversity across the spectrum of their membership, not necessarily who they're trying to attract, but those who are already there.
Okay.
And if they say, you know, we would like for all of you to regard this as something which is not just political, but something which is personal, something which pervades your life. You know, these issues are very important. One of the ways that you do that is to pray about them.
Okay, now, okay, I understand, Chuck. Now, I guess it's a question of, is prayer not only a confession of faith, a public confession of faith, but also an act of that faith, and putting prayers of divergent religions side by side, while it will serve the purpose of the general purpose of affirming the religious diversity of our society. And if you let one pray, then you need to let all pray. If you let one act practice religion freely, you let them all practice religion freely. But the Christian's place in that is a little sticky, because for Christians, that confession of faith is exclusive, and that confession of faith cannot stand side by side with something else as though the two were equally true when they're not. Austin is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Austin.
Yeah, hi, Todd. I just want to say that those prayers, you know, I think they are approved and kind of set up beforehand. And couldn't Mormon and Muslim prayers sound, like, radically different than that? I mean, they just approved those prayers that, you know, the one had the Jesus Christ, and it sounded like a Christian prayer. You know, I just wanted to, you know, they had a, I think you're right that they had a political agenda that they were trying to, and I agree with you. I kind of think that's wrong to throw that in there, you know, just for their agenda.
Thanks for the call, Austin. I don't know, you know, I suspect, since this is highly orchestrated and on television, the prayers were probably at least glanced at and looked at. And I'm sure they said, ah, fine, you know, let the Muslim pray his particular kind of prayer and let the Mormon pray their particular kind of prayer. Isn't it interesting? And don't be surprised, folks, we've just done some shows on this recently, that the Mormon prayer sounded so Christian. Even had one of our audience members fooled. It sounded so Christian, when in fact it was a false prayer to a false god. We had someone mention that the Purpose Driven Life book, they were approached by one of their relatives with the Purpose Driven Life book, and the guy says, "You gotta read this book. I bought this book for everyone in my family." "Oh, really? Why do you want me to read it?" It turns out the guy was a Mormon. He says, "This is what Mormonism is all about." Rick Warren's The Purpose Driven Life. The Mormon loved it. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., Suicide and Assisted Suicide in the Law with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. We'll also talk about Joshua with Dr. A.D. Harstead of Bethany Lutheran Seminary. And we'll hear from President Bill Clinton on how we should not judge anyone else's truth. Picking up on some of our callers' thoughts during this hour, we shouldn't judge anyone. We'll hear it from Clinton tomorrow when he says, look, we can't corner the market on the truth. We all see through a mirror darkly. And what he does is he rightly articulates what so many Christians do believe. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for the calls and thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.